I'm Adam, and welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
You can wander around and explore, and there's little games, and there's, you know, there's in our home-based thing, there's books that you can read, full ebooks from Goosebumps, I Survived Again, the Whatever After series. You can meet authors, you can talk to other kids, fellow readers, you can attend virtual barbecues and dance parties. There's just a lot of stuff that you can do.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience, a very informative and fun, exciting show we have for you today. On today's show, we have Blair Rainsford. Blair is the editor of Scholastic News Edition 2. It's for second grade students, but Scholastic has been providing a lot of information for children, for families, as well as educators during this time of COVID. It's all done online. A lot of it is very, very self-sufficient. They give you all the things that you need and most of the stuff you can do right from home. We're really excited to talk to her about all the great things that Scholastic is offering us going into the summer, as well as finishing out the school year, and maybe some things that will be available for us to utilize in the fall. Welcome, Blair, to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're really excited. I know we were talking a little bit off air about how you guys have been, you know, providing a lot of online content for kids, and our kids in this household has loved all the Scholastic stuff that they've been providing for our kids to get us through this whole COVID, you know. So before we even get into it, you know, I've been starting the show too with just asking folks, how are you guys dealing with the whole COVID and stay at home and work from home? And I'm assuming you guys are working from home and the whole self-quarantine type stuff. How have you guys been handling that?
Yeah. I live in New York, so we're pretty much still in the hub of the most cases and, you know, the strongest restrictions and social distancing. So I live in an apartment with my husband, a one bedroom apartment. And we're both working from home. We've actually both worked for Scholastic. So we're used to working together, which is kind of nice because we have to do a lot of it now. But yeah, it's tough. You know, I mean, we don't have children, so we're not trying to be teachers and employees at the same time, like a lot of people are. So that's something that's easier for us, but you know, we're not going outside very often at all, except for a couple trips a week to get groceries or to go to the drugstore. And the weather is getting nice, but we're not really getting to enjoy it too much here. A lot of stuff has been closed down to keep groups of people from congregating outside. Right. So, you know, we went out for a walk last weekend and we noticed that all the basketball hoops had been taken down because they don't want people playing basketball. So stuff like that is kind of sometimes the most striking stuff, where you think you're used to the way that things have changed. Then you see like, oh, there's no basketball hoops anymore.
Right. Yeah, no, we did the same thing. Like all of our schools obviously are closed. My wife and I are teachers, but we walked, like I did a bike ride with my kids and my wife a couple weeks ago, and we drove by an elementary or rode by an elementary school, and it was like all the caution tape. They had caution tape around them. Yeah. It's like sad. You know, it's for the best. So I mean, we actually just got a little bit of good news. Like I'm hoping, knock on wood, that people still follow what the guidelines are. But here in Michigan, they're supposedly opening more.
Oh, that's
pretty much, we're in like our phase three of the four phases or whatever they're, I don't know how they are everywhere else, but here we have like four phases of reopening. And I think this is like the third phase where pretty much restaurants and bars are going to open up. But oh, I'm still a little nervous because like New York, Detroit has been, you know, the Metro Detroit area has been a very high, you know, concentration between, you know, I live in the Tri-County area, which is the Detroit area, and those are like the hardest hits. So it's like, it's nerve-wracking to see, do you go out? Do you risk it? When do you go out? How do you go out? You know, we all wear masks, things, but it's hard to get used to this normal. So hopefully things will continue to get better and people will continue to follow those guidelines. So you talked a little bit about who lives with you at home and all that good stuff. So we'll get right at it. So tell us a little bit about what Scholastic is doing. Since most states have gone to, you know, online learning and not face-to-face instruction, how have they been supporting us teachers, which has been awesome, to help us out with educating our children?
Yeah. So the first thing that we did when the news of school closings started, this was like way back in March when even before we really knew the full extent of what was going to happen, but we did know that a lot of schools were going to be closing. We thought, I think, temporarily, but obviously we were wrong about that. So we've created this, the Classroom Magazine's group created this Scholastic Learn at Home site, which is these sort of like a suite of lessons for kids for anywhere from pre-K through grade nine. And it's stuff that they can do pretty independently for about 2 to 3 hours a day. You know, I mean, you're probably not going to plunk like a three-year-old in front of a computer and just leave them, but it's stuff that as a parent, you don't need any teaching background or any extra information. It's all there for you. All the resources are there. All the directions are there. It's engaging stuff that the kids are going to want to learn to do. We were talking before about my cousin's kids that are like 2 and 4 and how excited they've been to learn about rabbits and also about fiction, nonfiction, which was over their heads completely, but they're just so excited to learn things. So it's stuff that's presented in a, depending on the age of the child, the materials are slightly different. So for the little kids, like the pre-K through second grade, it's pairing a fiction book that's read aloud to you, which is really cool. And a lot of them are pretty famous authors. Like the Diary of a Worm books are in there. And I think there's some Willem stuff there too. So it's pairing a read aloud fiction book with a nonfiction book. And then there's activities that are sort of educational, but fun. Like I think there's one that's like invent your own spider, but you have to make sure it has the right number of legs. So there's a little bit of learning there too. And there's videos, that nonfiction videos that go along with the topics too. So those are great. So that's for the younger kids. And then for the older kids, it's more stuff from the magazine. So there's articles, there are videos and games. I saw that there's like some quizzes, cause we have one magazine that's like a personal health magazine for middle school and high school. So there's stuff that older kids can do to sort of learn about themselves too, which I think is great for right now when everyone is so stressed and isolated. They can do some social emotional learning work too. Mm-hmm. And our magazines cover, I think we have between 26 and 30 magazines total that range from pre-K all the way through high school. And they're all different subject areas. Like there's math magazines, there's art magazines too. So all that stuff is on this hub. And there's just a ton of different things that you can play around with. And I think, you know, it's all, obviously it's all appropriate and mm-hmm. kid friendly. So if a kid went up a couple of grades, it would still be okay. You know, right. They might not understand it, but it's not going to be something that's too scary or too upsetting.
Right. Well, what we like about it in the household too, is like there's the fiction and nonfiction. A lot of the nonfiction or the fiction stories have like, it's not even just the book. It's like, there's animation with it. So they really get into that as well. While it's being read aloud, which is super cool. But not only that, there are those, even with the pre-K stuff, there are little quizzes that, you know, kind of help them kind of reflect and remember and recall from the book. But the thing that we like too, and I'm my wife has done it more than I have, and I'm pretty sure that there's always like an activity at the end, correct? Yep. And like they can go, like we usually call it a field trip, and we try and find, like if it was about bugs, we try and find bugs outside and talk about them, or, you know, that's the other cool thing. So you're not only just sitting in front of a computer screen, like there's an interactive part. If you go that far and go into it, you can create more, and you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to be an educator to do this. It's all spelled out. It's all there. It's just like, put in the website, find the grade level and go. And our kids love it. Like,
yeah,
I think it's something they need.
Oh yeah. There's something they need. You're reminding me too. We created these so long ago, so I'm forgetting all the stuff that we were thinking when we were writing it. But, for the early childhood activities, we tried to create things that you don't need any special materials to do, like, because parents at home don't have all the things that you would have in a classroom. You don't need the materials. You don't need any training. Like we said, I think you don't need any technological equipment. I think all of these things you can even use a phone for. So it's accessible to anyone. So even if you don't have a computer at home, you can still use the stuff. You can still view everything on a smartphone. Mm-hmm. That was really important to us from an accessibility point of view, especially knowing, I mean, I now have been chatting with some classes where the kids were able to like take Chromebooks home from the school, but that's definitely not the case for everybody. And even if it is, you know, a 7-year-old alone on a Chromebook is going to struggle a little bit. Those have been fun to do a Zoom call with a whole class where kids are like popping in and out of frame and holding pictures up to the screen and like playing with a cat so the technology aspect is a little difficult. So we tried to make it very adaptable and very, very easy.
No. And like where we are, like where I teach, it's, you know, I teach right outside of the Detroit area, and, We did. We went, we tried to get every kid that didn't have some sort of device, a device in their hand so they could do stuff. So, but it is like we use an iPad or a tablet, and it's very easy to get on an iPad or a tablet. I've done it on the phone and it all plays. And you know, the kids, it's surprising to see like my kids, even at their age, being able to navigate that stuff. And they have been, which is pretty cool. I mean, part of me is like, how much have I taught them to do this? And how much have we actually been demonstrating to make them learn? But the stuff that that's out there from the Scholastics have has been amazing for our household. And it's really helped. Like usually after rest time or nap time, they go right into some, you know, what are we going to learn about today? So it is good stuff. And my kids definitely at their ages are getting very excited about it. So it's awesome stuff. So what, you know, you said you've worked with some classes and you've gone on some online stuff and even in your daily routines, why do you think it's important for us to have kind of more of these semblances of daily life, like what Scholastic is providing? Let's have a little bit more of a, you know, a structured educational time for our kids. Why do you think that routine and stuff is so important during this time?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think, you know, again, my specialty is sort of is the second grade early childhood group. So I know a little bit more about that than older kids. But it's just so important for kids to have some kind of normalcy and routine in their lives. And just, I think, to feel like someone is in charge and someone is taking care of them. So even if it's just, yeah, even if you just say like, okay, now we're doing learning time. And whatever that is, that sets the kids' expectations for what's coming next, and they know like what they're going to be expected to do in that time too. And I think this is something I've noticed a lot too on people I've talked to or social media. But a lot of people I've seen writing like their own classroom schedules in their houses, like on paper or whiteboards, and it's sometimes it's just like snack time, nap time, you know, like and like it, getting in like the family time stuff, but just giving kids a schedule of what their day is, which is very, very similar to what you would see in an early childhood classroom. There's always in all the classrooms I go to, there's always something up on the board that lets kids know exactly where they're going to be at every time. And as I think also, you know, at early ages, kids are learning to read clocks. So that's part of it too. That's an important skill for them. Mm-hmm. But I think just like knowing what their expectations are and just knowing what's coming next is very comforting, especially in a time where a lot of us adults don't really know what's coming mm-hmm. next. I think it's a really good gift to be able to give to kids is just to let them know you're being taken care of. We know, you know, there's a rhythm to your day. It's very comforting. They know what, they have agency and they know what they'll be doing.
Absolutely. And I love that you touched a little bit on the whole schedule thing. We have one too. Like the early ones were crazy. I can tell you that right now. Like, this is what's going to happen now. This
really
happen
ambitious.
But yeah. Really ambitious. And then you get like, well, wait a minute. You know, there's going to be times where it's just like both my wife and I are both teaching a class at the same time. And sometimes that iPad has to come out and they have to go on like, you know, whatever, you know, not just even I'm not talking educational at that point. I'm talking like they have to be entertained. And it's like, I can't sit next to them and help them read the story and explain those things. So it's like, it's some of those things have to go, but we've even with cleaning and like taking care of the house, we've had some sort of like daily chores list of what we're going to do on this day. And then this is happening or we go outside and now that the weather's better, that's included. So it is, I think that's helped us immensely in our household. So, you know,
we're at a household of two adults and I always think we should be doing more of that too. I think we'd be happier, especially on the weekends where we're like, we don't know, we don't have anywhere to go. We should probably have made a schedule for ourselves for today.
Right, you can only watch and binge watch so many shows when the weather's are bad or when the weather's bad. Right. So you said you've sat in some classrooms and you've had experience obviously with this content for folks. What are some creative things that you've seen happen, come out of this, the content, the online learning stuff that you guys have provided for families and for educators? Have you seen anything?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, you know, what I have personally done is, visited a couple like whole classroom Zoom meetings mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. second grade classes and just in my capacity as a Scholastic news editor, been there to like answer questions about what my job is and sort of like a career day kind of guest.
Yeah.
And actually I was thinking this earlier, one of the sort of jokes that we have now is that the kids on Zoom have better meeting etiquette than the adults that I worked with. Like everyone is muted and waits for their turn to talk. And I'm just like, wow, I wish I could really carry this over into my work meetings. So that's, and that's actually what's nice about those meetings is that it's very similar to what I would be doing in person if I was visiting a class. Like, mm-hmm. I would just be going to a class and talking to kids, and, you know, you see them on screen wiggling and like moving around as much as they would be in a classroom. It almost feels a lot more similar to the real classroom experience than I would expect. So that's been nice for me. I think in the lower grades, I haven't seen a ton of kids, like kid directed projects or anything, but that's mm-hmm. because they're so little. I do know that there's a couple new initiatives that Scholastic is working on. And one of them is the My History project. And that's for like grades 3 and up, but it's part of Lauren Tarshis, the author of the I Survived book series. Are you familiar with
those? I'm not familiar with those, but I'm sure my wife would be.
Yeah.
She's a middle school ELA teacher. So
they're they're nonfiction books about kids living through historical moments and like disasters and stuff. And they're written by the author, Lauren Tarshis, who's also the head of our magazine division.
Oh, wow.
So they're this really popular series of books for like middle grade kids, like 3 through 6, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So in conjunction with this book series, the magazine group has started this project called My History Project, which is like a living history project that kids can participate in to just document their experiences living through COVID. And I think that they can send in videos or writing or whatever, but
that's great.
It's not something that we're doing a lot with the younger kids, but I do think it's something that younger kids would, you know, I think it would have to be very parent led.
Right.
So that's why we're trying to keep things that we present to teachers and to parents very simple. But mm-hmm. if you are willing to take on a slightly bigger project with your younger kids, I think that they could really.
Well, we'll make sure we put links to that stuff and all the upcoming initiatives in our notes. And, you know, because there are listeners that have older high school kids or, you know, middle school kids that are more self-sufficient and maybe would enjoy doing that, which leads me to kind of another initiative that I just heard about that you guys are doing with the school year coming to the end and kind of that online learning is going to slow down a bit. We don't want to totally halt in all the online learning that we're doing and keeping our kids fresh for the next school year when we hopefully all resume back in person. Right. But you guys are doing something with Rita Palooza that's coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about this program and what it's going to entail and how we can get involved with that?
Yes. So you can access it all online at scholastic.com/summer. It's a free summer reading program. And I am a former childhood summer reading lover. So this kind of thing, you know, I was never a kid that didn't want to do my reading in the summer. So I'm always very excited about summer, like big summer reading programs. I always wish I could like keep track of all the books that I'm reading again and get the little ice cream prize from the library. But
book it through Pizza Hut. I remember that.
I think I had a trophy at home somewhere for like reading the most books in my local library in the summer. Nice. Which is the only trophy I've ever won in my life. And
that's all right. That's great.
Yeah, that's pretty on brand for a magazine editor. But yeah, so it's a free digital program, and it's linked up to our new online community called Scholastic Home Base, which is it's like this amazing new project. It's a I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a virtual world where kids can go and sort of explore different books and authors. I think Lauren Tarshis, who we talked about, has like mm-hmm. an avatar on there, so kids can talk to her on this mm-hmm. In this thing.
It's almost like Ready Player One, like, right? kind of idea.
Yeah, it's like it's like what's Animal Crossing? Is that the game?
I don't even know what it is though. So you and I'm sure my listeners are going to hate me. I have no clue. Animal Crossing. I asked somebody the other day, and I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I think it's like an interactive community, maybe.
Yeah, it's like okay. So I think it's like you can wander around and explore, and there's little games, and there's, you know, there's in our home base thing, there's books that you can read, full ebooks from Goosebumps, I Survived Again, the Whatever After series. You can meet authors, you can talk to other kids, fellow readers, you can attend virtual barbecues and dance parties. There's just a lot of stuff that you can do, and it's because it's through Scholastic, it's totally safe and mm-hmm. secure, and it's just very kid focused. And it is another thing that you could set up for your kids to do and that they could do without a ton of supervision or direction from a parent.
That's cool. It sounds kind of like The Sims for reading.
Yeah.
That video game, The Sims.
We should use it as our tagline.
It's neat though. And there's full books.
It's supposed to be giving kids a way to be social during social distancing. Yeah. You know, they can still explore and talk to other people, even if they can't do that in real life.
Do they is there anything planned? I haven't been on it yet or looked at it much, you know, other than just finding out about it recently. Is there going to be like any author feedback talks? I know you said there's an avatar on there, but are they going to do anything like that? And, you know, is that anything planned or?
I think so. I don't know specifically what the events are planned, but I'm sure I know Lauren has been doing stuff for it.
That's so
I'm
awesome. Sure
there are like, I mean, if the virtual dance parties and barbecues, I think I'm guessing that there are like events set up.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Which is so cool because I mean, there's not many times that these kids can interact with an author. I mean, they read their book, they find out about it, but they can't like specifically say, well, what were you thinking when this character did that? Or where did that come from? That's so cool that they're going to have that opportunity. I know I had the opportunity once, even with my students, I had a composer come on, which is very, you know,
cool,
comprehending and reading music has got a lot of similarities to retaining and decoding and whatnot with reading. And they were able to come on and talk to this composer and they performed and retained it so much better just by talking to them. And it's so neat to get that background because even though it might be a fictional story, it had to come from somewhere. Sometimes those things don't just come out of thin air. So it's nice to find that out. So it's really cool that idea happened. And I don't know why something like this didn't happen sooner. So it's so kudos to Scholastic for doing it. I want to go on and kind of explore it a little bit because I love those aspects of things and being able to do that. So awesome. Well, we'll definitely put all that stuff as well in the show notes so people can find all this information. So we know that during this time, it's been tough for all of us. It's been tough for people all over the world. What is something that you've learned or something positive that you've learned that's come out of this whole experience with COVID and working online, you know, working from home? What have you learned that you've kind of took maybe for granted before that you're just more embracing more now?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I think I'm missing collaborating with people a lot. And, you know, I think the technology that we have to connect us all is really great. And I'm really thankful that we are able to stay in touch, virtually during this whole thing. I can't imagine what this would look like without Zoom or Google Meet and just, you know, being able to really check in with coworkers. You know, I find myself missing the office in my commute, which I never thought I would, like the physical space of the office and just being able to work on things together and to sit down at the same table with people and brainstorm together, I think is difficult. And I think we're finding ways to do things together virtually. But I think a lot of it, I don't think that there's any replacement for in-person communication, but
100% agree.
I know, and as a teacher, I'm sure that you feel that too. But I have been encouraged by. I mean, even in the second grade Zoom calls, like I was telling you about, I have been amazed to see how engaged kids are, even at the end of the school year, and they're 7 years old, and they're at a computer by themselves. That they're still. I mean, I guess it's just the like boundless curiosity of a child, but I think kids are really resilient and are really bouncing back or not, maybe not even back, but just are bouncing along right now. You know, I don't know what it's like to be a parent right now, obviously, but I've been really happy to see, it seems like kids are really handling it.
Yeah, no, and it is, it's really interesting to me to see, like you said, I'm 100% in agreement. I've enjoyed being able to interact. I've been enjoying to have Zoom because I can't even imagine, you know, you keep seeing all these things about the Spanish flu way back when. It would have been so much harder. Like, I don't know what, like I, you know, my best friend who lives, you know, a half hour away, you wouldn't see him. And now at least we can do those type of things. But I've been very, very encouraged and very, very happy to see that the students do want to do their work. They want to get involved. It's not all of them, but a bigger chunk than I thought would are doing it and want to be in school. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard in an email or even on a Zoom call or whatever from students going, can we just go back? Oh, I'm hoping that, like for me, I'm hoping marching band doesn't get canceled. I want that. They want that aspect. So it's very encouraging to see. A lot of times you only hear, oh God, summer vacation's over. We got to go back to school. You hear that a lot, but now I'm not hearing it. Like, I want to go back. I want this. I want that. So I agree. I think it's pretty neat to kind of see these students and kids value that face-to-face information.
Yeah. And I'm sure this won't be a surprise to you as a teacher, but I've also been really encouraged by all the teachers that I'm seeing and talking about how much they miss their kids' faces. Just the sort of the emotional toll of this, of how many people are just like, I just want to be in the room with these children again. Like, right. I just miss them so much. And it's teachers that are being asked to do so much work right now, you know, on top of whatever they have to do at home just to get through a day, you know, managing their own household and also teaching a class full of kids. And they're still saying, wow, I really wish I was in the classroom right now. I really don't want to be doing school this way. So
yeah, if anything, this is although we know we can do it in an emergency, nothing really replaces that.
Yeah.
You know, face to face contact.
That's kind of sad to be living through that right now, to know that we can't do it, but it's also kind of reaffirming, I think, to remember how important we all are to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, although the tools are great, I don't think they'll ever replace, especially from what I'm learning, they don't replace in that emotional connection that, I mean, you can build a relationship with a student and encourage them and get them motivated and check on them, but nothing is like being able to sit in front of your class when they're having a bad day and just be like, okay, the schoolwork doesn't matter. Let's talk about what's going on and because we're going to learn more from this and we can move farther along. And I think sometimes the computer screen eliminates a little bit of that. It's like, you do your work, you got to get it done. You may, you know, I always try when I meet with my kids, we talk about what they're doing positive and the good news. And even with our students, what's good, or my kids at home, what's good that happened today? What was your favorite thing? And it's hard being online all the time and cooped up in the house to find those moments. So like you said, I do think it's so important for us to when we get back, we're going to really appreciate that so much more, I think.
Yeah. I saw one teacher, and this was like right when the pandemic started, but she was like, once we get back to school, I'm never doing silent reading time in my class again. Like, she's like, I want to hear their voices. I don't want any silent time anymore.
Right. Absolutely. So can you kind of give us a rundown of where folks can find some of the stuff here? I will put it in the show notes, but maybe kind of the Scholastic, the online learning stuff that you guys have had, and maybe where they can find the Readapalooza stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So I can give you, I'll say all the URLs and then you can share them too.
But, yeah.
The Scholastic Learn at Home site, which is what we talked about first. I believe that's scholastic.com/learn-at-home, and that I think will be up for the rest of the summer. But the real focus for the summer is the summer Readapalooza. That's like the summer reading experience, and that's sort of the link between end of the school year and summer into fall. That's just scholastic.com/summer, and that's there's actually a lot of stuff on summer Readapalooza that we haven't talked about, but there's like, they can, and this is partially with home base too, like kids can like print out achievement reports to share with their parents, which is like what I was talking about.
Like with the book and stuff.
Kids that are checkmark driven will really like that. There's a reading streak program that they can do where they can unlock donations of books to other kids.
Oh, that's really cool.
Who don't have access to books. So that's really cool too. So if they, by keeping track of their own reading, they can help other kids get books. And it's just a great way for kids to be able to do something in a few different senses, like actually read and also be social on the home-based website, like we talked about, and also be helping other kids. So there's a lot of stuff wrapped up into this Summer Readapalooza project. So Summer Readapalooza is scholastic.com/summer, home base. I don't know. I think you can just get to that from the Summer Readapalooza site. But I will look up if there's another link that they should be using.
So you mentioned something too, maybe you know, or maybe I can put it in later, but I mentioned something about the streak thing where people can unlock books. Is if there's an educator out there that has maybe from a lower income school district or something, how would they maybe get more information about there? Is there a way to do that? Or is there just maybe just through that site, through the summer Rita Palooza stuff, or is there a way to find that information? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. It's in conjunction with United Way worldwide, okay. But I don't know the answer to this.
Okay. No worries.
I would guess that there's a way for it.
I'm sure it's on the website too. Yeah. So if they're looking, but it's just good to know that maybe some educators out there can even research it a little bit and find something.
Any stuff like that you have questions for, you can send to me or to Stephanie, I think, who you've been communicating.
Yeah. If I get one too, I can forward it on, or I can ask the question as well. So our listeners know that, but because I know there's a lot of people out there that, you know, I know specifically where I teach is definitely has budget issues at times just because of lower, you know, we don't get as much funding as other schools. So it's nice to be able to have some of those programs for educators to kind of at least research to find out if they qualify.
Totally. Yeah. I always am trying to get books in as many people's hands as possible. That's always.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That's great. Yeah, important. Well, we appreciate you, Blair, for coming on and sharing all your insight with all that you're doing and all that Scholastic is doing. And, you know, you've got us sold as a Scholastic family here for sure, because they've done so much for us in getting us through this pandemic. So thank you for all that you're doing and all you're doing for the students and families around the world.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I love the work that this company does, and I'm really happy that we can be there for people when they need us.
Yeah. One of my favorite days when I was a student was getting the Scholastic book, the book purchase. What do you call them? The book. You know what I'm talking about? They were like the color
catalog, book.
Let's say you would get the catalog. I used to love getting them, checking off the books that I was going to buy. And those were so fun to get.
Yeah. We have the book fairs, which is when they come into your library.
Right.
There's book clubs, which is when you order. And then from like the catalog, and then the box comes with everybody's books, and you open it up and it's got all the books.
Yeah. Those were the days. Those were fun days.
That's an exciting day.
It was an exciting day. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you sharing your wealth of knowledge with our listeners.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure.
Thanks. Don't forget, email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. If you have any questions for me, or maybe you have a question for Blair, we can get that information for you. Check us out. You can find us on most social media, The Dad Experience. Just search for us there. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.